You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's dynamite broadcast. What a blockbuster we've got. Heavyweight all-stars Sam Dixon, Richard Spencer, and Jared Taylor all on deck, and we're going to get to the first of that triple threat this very minute. Sam Dixon, my very good friend, a man whose counsel I've come to rely on for many, many years. He has always been there. What a stalwart for our people. You can go on YouTube now and find speeches that Sam's given going back decades. He has always been there, always on the front lines, and certainly this show has benefited as a result of his working cooperation with us. I'm very excited. I was outside having a snowball fight with my daughter. Of course, she won. And I felt the phone vibrate in my pocket. And if there's one guy who can cause me to pause from a snowball fight, it's Sam Dixon. And Sam had called and said he had something he wanted to talk about on the show tonight. And, of course, we juggled the schedule to work him in because it is an important topic. As you all know, I should say, first of all, Sam is an attorney and a renowned orator. And every time he comes on the Political Cesspool, it is an event. And with that being said, let me first welcome my good friend back to the show. Sam, I guess this is the first time our audience has heard you since you spoke at our 10-year anniversary party back in October.
Right.
So it's great to have you.
First time I've ever called you and importuned an invitation.
Well,
I wanted to talk about Ferguson. I think that this is a very important subject that you and I and Jared and Richard and all of our listening audience and white Americans in general need to think about. And we need to look at these two reports by the Justice Department and the reaction of the Justice Department and law enforcement, as well as the media, to these two reports, because it provides a rare opportunity for white Americans to understand just how our government views us. Contempt is not the right word, because, of course, they view us with active hatred. And we see this now. And most people in the audience will know, there are two reports that came out. One was the report on the specific incident itself and the police officer, Darren Wilson. And despite being conducted by Eric Holder and the U.S. Just Us Department, which had every reason, every bias against Officer Wilson, they could find nothing on him. And their investigation proved that the people who claimed they had seen him shoot Michael Brown in cold blood had lied. They caught them with previous statements they had given to the police before this became a cause of the black community, in which they confirmed what Darren Wilson said. Later, they changed that story to come up with the hands up, don't shoot reports that were duplicated nationwide from coast to coast in demonstrations and by football celebrities and so on. So these, at least one of them, admitted to the investigators that she had lied. She said she lied because the community wanted it. So her commitment to her community, the black community, transcended telling the truth about this incident. And the other report came out with a scathing indictment of the police department itself, which was accused of systematic racism, white racism, based upon the fact that more blacks are arrested than whites, which everyone listening to this broadcast will know is not evidence of bias at all. Blacks simply have a different culture. They drive more dangerously, just as Hispanics do. Anyone who's been in Mexico City or Caracas, Venezuela, and tried to drive a car knows that's true. But the agenda of the government is white-hating. It's not the truth. It's white-baiting, white-hating, stirring up lynch mobs against whites. And when the government couldn't come up with anything against Darren Wilson, it concocted this report about the systemic racism permeating the Ferguson Police Department. And this is the report that has now swept the nation. I was watching CNN, and I saw Anderson Cooper's treatment of it. He had a panel of three angry black people and one mealy-mouthed white. And they just immediately swept the report on Wilson to one side, said that we don't really know the facts on that, and so we're not going to deal with that. And they focused, as has Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, on the other report. And Holder has explained that we need to find out why what he calls the alternative version of events, which is the lies the blacks had told. He won't call his fellow black racists liars who lied to the police. They have an alternative version to the truth. And this way he can avoid saying what they are. But this is what we need to look at. Not the fact you had large numbers of blacks lying and coalescing to try to get an innocent white police officer. That's not the group we need to get. We need to go back to white baiting. And I want to remind people, and then listening also to the audience as a lawyer, that lying to police officers, lying to the FBI, lying to the Justice Department, this is a crime. Most people will remember Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart lied about getting an email stock tip from her boyfriend's stockbroker. And Martha Stewart was indicted, and she was tried, and she was convicted, and she went to jail on a first offense that did no harm to the investigation, no harm to anyone in America, because she was a white woman. She was a white Polish Catholic. But these people in Ferguson, no one's talking about indicting any of them. And what they did caused, among other things, millions of dollars of property being burned to the ground in Ferguson, months of confrontation between police officers and violent mobs in Ferguson, upheavals and exacerbated race relations from coast to coast, and even in New York City, the death of two white police officers. But they're not going to be indicted. And that's an example for everyone listening and for every white American to understand how much this American government, the regime, its Federal Bureau of Investigation, its Justice Department, and its courts hate white people.
And exonerate black people from the normal consequences of their criminal activity, like perjury.
Absolutely, Keith. Imagine a hypothetical situation that instead of these people lying about a black cop, about a white cop, think if it was a bunch of people like you and me, and we all got together, 30 or 40 of us, and we concocted an alternative version of events. Only Eric Holder and the media would not be calling it, as the New York Times did, the alternative version. They'd call it a white racist conspiracy to spread lies to railroad a black police officer into jail. And you know what? They'd be right. But what would happen?
Let's take a break.
What would change is we would be indicted and we would go to jail.
Got to take a break right there, Sam. Got to pause right there. We're going to come back. My goodness, what a show. What a guest. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We have a special seminar for you on Friday, March 27th at the Get Prepared Expo. From 9 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, spend the day with USA Prepare's senior instructors, Matt Stein and Dr. Richard Allen Miller. There you'll learn about the three major game-over events and their likelihood, and most importantly, what to do about them. Events so powerful that they can end life as we know it. Yes, they're real, and our senior instructors will guide you to safety. This seminar is limited to the first 100 who purchase tickets on the website, getpreparedexpo.com. Your tuition for this special seminar is $85. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. This is an in-depth, all-day seminar, and you're encouraged to take notes. Note-taking materials are provided. Food and beverages are available all day at the Get Prepared Expo, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, we are about to have two lions
fighting over the same piece of meat.
Playing with the same piece of meat. Very good, Keith. We've got Keith Alexander and Sam Dixon on. And let me tell you, we have two national treasures there, and they are going to match wits. They are both attorneys by trade and two of the most genius minds that I have ever encountered. And I mean that very earnestly and very sincerely. And Keith, I know you were listening, as our entire audience was, as Sam broke down the case. Obviously, Ferguson is back in the news this week, and we're breaking that down right now, and we'll continue to do so. I'd like for you to first, Keith, respond to what you heard Sam say, your thoughts about that, and then continue the interview with a question of your own for our very esteemed guest.
Well, of course, Sam was absolutely right. When you hit the nail on the head, you drive it straight. These instigators, these people that lied to the police and the authorities about what happened, would undoubtedly be prosecuted to the max by Eric Holder's Justice Department, and rightfully so, if they had been white rather than black and had tried to lie on behalf of Darren Wilson, the police officer who was the target of this investigation. And as scary as that is, that basically people get a pass on lying to the police, causing millions of dollars worth of property damage, dominating headlines with a false narrative. The thing that's even scarier to me, Sam, is what if you or I or James or Richard or Jared or any of us were in Darren Wilson's shoes? Suppose a black burglar broke into our house, pulled a gun on us, threatened us, and we shot and killed him. What type of justice do you think we could expect in today's America?
Well, I think the rhetorical question answers itself. You know, they talk about racial profiling, and that was a great part of the attack on the police department. They have racially profiled blacks because they have arrested more of them than white people. People are racially profiled in America. And that's why Martha Stewart served time, because she denied getting an email. Whereas the liars, who still may yet kill Darren Wilson, he is at risk the rest of his life. And they did successfully create such a frenzied atmosphere that two white cops in New York City were killed because of their lies. The fact that Martha Stewart serves time and there is not the faintest suggestion that these liars who conspired together to lie to law enforcement and to try to railroad an innocent man who did this amount of damage to their community, to their the country at large, that the government isn't even thinking about indicting one of them, tells you, in a shocking way, I think even many of our people don't understand, the level of hatred that this government, this regime in America, has for the founding stock of the nation.
Well, think about this, Sam. What about measuring the differential racial response of our government to lies by blacks who make up out of whole cloth a totally fictitious narrative for the purpose of railroading some guy to the death chamber, I guess, on one hand, Darren Wilson, and what happened to Martha Stewart. Just think about, you know, Martin Luther King's famous comment that's always mouthed by mainstream conservatives, that he wanted people to be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. If I hear that phrase one more time related to race relations in America in the 21st century, I think I'm going to puke. You know, it's just, it's so absolutely absurd that, you know, that's the last thing in the world that people like Eric Holder and Barack Obama want. It's or, quite frankly, the people that run our media. What they want is a situation where we are pilloried. It's like Vilfredo Pareto, the Italian socialist, said in the 19th century. He said, "When I am weak, I ask you for equality and justice because those are your principles. When I am in power, I deny equality and justice to you because those are my principles." That's what's happened. That was the foot in the door, the nose in the tent, the camel's nose in the tent, to gain hand morally.
Also, let's look also at what isn't, who isn't speaking. The Southern Poverty, to go back to one of our favorite groups of people, Southern Poverty Law Center organized rallies in Montgomery in support of the blacks. You know, they like to mail out stuff to law enforcement, pretending that they are friends of law enforcement. But Heidi Beirich and Mark Potok and the others, they were out in the streets, ready and going after Darren Wilson. Now, you're not going to see one word. You're not hear a word out of Mark Potok or Morris Dees or Heidi Beirich, because to them, those two white cops in New York, they can just rot in their graves.
And they won't write. White is the most incredible thing.
To go after liars, people who conspired to violate the civil rights of Darren Wilson and who set all this in motion. You're not going to hear anything out of the churches. The Presbyterian Church, which I'm a member, you're not going to have any ringing resolutions at the next General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church. You're not going to hear anything from the Methodist Church. You're not going to hear anything from the Southern Baptist Convention. And the mum is the word among the National Council of Catholic Bishops. The church.
The silence is deafening.
Say, no one, no church will ever address, no priest or clergy will ever address the issue of bearing false witness in this circumstance. They'll talk about the Ferguson report about the police department tomorrow in pulpits all over America. But when it comes to what the blacks did, all those clergymen, like the Levite in the Bible and the Good Samaritan, they're going to be walking down the other side of the road because they got their pensions to think about. And in Congress, there will be not one single Republican senator or congressman who will go on the floor of the Congress and ask when we will get justice against these liars who caused the death of those cops. That's the degree to which the regime in America, the regime writ large, churches, priests, bishops, newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, congressmen, Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, they are all part of a regime that has an agenda of racially profiling whites and that wants our destruction. And white people need to realize that. And they need to withdraw their allegiance from all of these groups. They need to start
and
writing
they need...
their tithe check to political cesspool and not to the Presbyterian Church.
They're amen. Here, like, amen for that.
To James Edwards and not to the Republican Party.
Well, the thing is, you know, let's fast forward. What's all this going to lead to? It's going to lead to a situation in Europe and America and any other so-called white majority nation, similar to what's happening today in Zimbabwe and South Africa. You're going to be the subject of genocide. Once they have the power and the numbers, you can see that principle, they don't care a fig about principle. They don't care a fig about principles like innocence until proven guilty. What these perjurers in Ferguson, Missouri were actually doing was organizing a lynch mob. That's what Heidi Beirich and Mark Potok were trying to do. They were just so confident that they had the actual constabulary in their pocket that they didn't worry about taking matters into their own hands.
Real quick, I'm going to, Sam, sit tight. Jared Taylor is on deck. We're going to bring Jared on if we can. I got to talk to my producer and see if we can accommodate both you and Jared without melting the radio airwaves. And we're going to bring Jared on for one segment to join you and Keith in this discussion before we plug the next American Renaissance Conference. Let's just stay tuned during the commercial break. We'll see what we can work out.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us. US.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, we may melt the airwaves in this next segment. I don't know what's going to happen when you have Keith Alexander, Sam Dixon, and Jared Taylor all on the air at the same time, but we're about to find out. Jared Taylor, of course, is the proprietor of American Renaissance, a man who has been appearing on this program since its very inception. The author of Paved with Good Intentions and the primary contributor to the collection A Race Against Time. His latest book is White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. So Jared is booked this evening to inform us about an event taking place next month near Nashville, Tennessee. It's the American Renaissance 2015 conference, and we're going to give Jared plenty of time to do that. But first, while Sam Dixon was on the line, I just couldn't help take advantage of the opportunity to put Jared and Sam together on the airwaves like you would see them together at an American Renaissance conference as we continue and wrap up this conversation about Ferguson. So basically, Jared, what's happened is Sam has been with us since the top of the hour to talk about the latest events in Ferguson. And I know that you have been providing through American Renaissance extensive coverage of the latest goings-on as well, including some original pieces penned by you. So why don't you give us, if you would, my friend, your take on that, and then we'll let you and Sam kind of flesh it out together.
I think that the most important thing that is going to result from the DOJ's report on the Ferguson Police Department will depend 100% on how the police department reacts. My initial impression was that they were going to roll over just like every small-town police department and beg forgiveness and do what they're told. But I gather that the mayor has come out recently and said that this report is all a bunch of baloney and they're going to fight it tooth and nail. I could not be happier about that. I'm afraid, though, that the Justice Department is going to put 100 lawyers on the case and litigate them to death, bleed them dry. But in the meantime, I am delighted that they are standing up and saying, to hell with this, we run a good police department, go away and shut up.
Okay.
Well, let me say this. I defy the Department of Justice to find any police department in any community in America in which blacks do not represent a disproportionately large number of the perpetrators and suspects in violent crime. I don't care if it's, let's say there's 5% blacks in some community. It'll undoubtedly be at least 10% of the violent crime will be attributable to them. And, you know, that's just, of course, the result of racial differences that you've documented so well at your website.
And in a nutshell, it appears as though what we're seeing is that, of course, there wasn't enough evidence. Certainly there wasn't. It never should have even been considered for the grand jury to begin with. But obviously they passed on it because there wasn't enough evidence, no evidence at all, to pursue charges against Darren Wilson. But still we have this insane lunacy being perpetrated by the Obama administration in general and the so-called Justice Department specifically. And even though now this official report finds that there was no cause for charges to be brought against Darren Wilson, they still double down by saying, but the cops in Ferguson are obviously racist, and we know that
That's right. That's right.
Jared, take it from there, and then I want to work Yeah, go ahead, my friend, and then we'll work Sam back in.
Yes, their point is that the whole department is racist, and they point over and over, and the media has repeated time and again that blacks are only 67% of the population, but 85% of the vehicle stops, 90% of the citations, 90% of the cases of use of force, et cetera, et cetera. Well, first of all, I think the 67% figure black is probably outdated. That's from the 2010 census. That place has been turning black at a very rapid rate, and I think it's probably 72 or 3% by now. And as was just pointed out, it would be impossible to find a city that did not have equivalent racial disproportions in terms of interaction with the police, especially in a place like Ferguson, because when you have this kind of massive transfer, massive white flight, the people who are left, the white people who are left, are old people who can't sell their houses because the arrival of blacks has made their property prices plummet. They're stuck. But older white people are not the kind of folk that ever have to deal with the police. So the statistics prove absolutely nothing except that the Ferguson police have been going after criminals.
With that being said, Sam Dixon will recall,
because I mean, you were the source of my finding this out, that some years ago, the U.S. Justice Department and Governor Whitman of New Jersey got together, and they had a study. They put video cameras in the cops' cars, and they were going to uncover and prove that the police departments all over America were racially profiling blacks and arresting them for driving while black.
Yes.
And when they did that study, they found that actually the white cops were bending over backwards to go easy on the blacks, and it disproved that contention. Whereupon the Justice Department and Governor Whitman conspired together to try to deep six the study, because the facts didn't serve the ideology.
That's exactly right. Whenever anybody has looked into this alleged disproportionate, unfair racial profiling of black drivers, they have found that black drivers get stopped because they're the ones who are disproportionately breaking the law. The other point that the police often make is that if they see a guy go by and he's speeding with the taillights out, most of the time, they can't even tell what race the driver is. They don't know the race of the guy until they've pulled him over. This whole thing has developed a life of its own that is completely based on fantasy and falsehood.
But, Jared, I have to also say that you and Keith do not appreciate the gravity of what the Justice Department found and when it examined the Ferguson Police Department. I listened to Anderson Cooper on CNN two nights ago, and he had a panel of three angry black women and a mealy-mouthed white. And they were in a state of real anger and indignation because after examining 35,000 documents in Ferguson, the Justice Department did find that there had been three racist emails.
Well,
I submit that if there were only three racist emails sent by police officers subjected to months of rock-throwing, spitting, chanted taunts, these guys should be elevated to the College of Cardinals in the Vatican and put on the fast track to canonization.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. What qualifies as a so-called racist email? I mean, I think it goes without saying, and Jared, I'll let you chime into what Sam was saying right now, but if Darren Wilson, if it had been proven that he had ever visited the website of American Renaissance or ever had tuned into this radio program, he would probably be in jail today.
Well, he would be under indictment. As far as the so-called racist email is concerned, the Justice Department report quoted from seven, not just three, Sam.
Oh, my goodness.
So there were seven.
There were seven out of 35,000 documents. So this is shocking.
Puts things in a totally different light.
Let me read you an example of one. A June 2011 email described a man seeking to obtain welfare for his dogs because they are mixed in color, unemployed, lazy, can't speak English, and have no friggin' clue who their daddies are. Yes. Now, that's enough to condemn an entire police department. Now, my
view on Jared, Anderson Cooper and his indignant, I mean, really enraged, angry black women guests on the panel.
Or any other time.
They were furious because these three people had only been fired.
Well, that's right. That's right.
All that happened. Which brings up one of those things. Do whites have freedom of speech anymore? Does this mean any white who has ever expressed an opinion like that is now disqualified from public employment?
Oh,
quick answer, Jared, because we're about to come up on break.
Yes, such a person has no human decency. But let's get back to, after the break, I'd like to talk about the point that James raised about what would have happened to Darren Wilson if he'd ever visited the Amaranth site or listened to your program.
Well, when we come back from the break, of course, as well, we're going to be plugging the American Renaissance Conference 2015, which is going to be taking place April 17th through the 19th. We're going to get all of the details about that, but we still have a matter of seconds before break. So set the table for us, Jared, as we talked about, and you actually corrected me quite rightly. He wouldn't be quite in jail yet. He would be only under indictment if it had been proven that in these searches that he had, well, there's the music. So, but we will follow up on that and let
James,
Jared.
I must leave. I wish you all Godspeed. Bye-bye.
God bless you, Sam Dixon, everybody. We'll be back with Jared Taylor right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Got a lot of love between us, as the song says, and that is absolutely true with our guests this evening and our audience, a record-breaking crowd in the Political Cesspool online chat room, brought to you courtesy of the Council of Conservative Citizens tonight. They are just wild over Sam Dixon and Jared Taylor, who is still with us. Sam had to leave. Jared's still with us. And the primary focal point of this segment is going to be to plug American Renaissance's 2015 conference, and we absolutely positively have to get to that. But before we do, I want Jared to continue on the point he was about to make before the break, and that and all of this scrutiny, had it been proven that Darren Wilson had a sense of racial consciousness, would he have been indicted? And that is a very scary proposition. Jared, your thoughts?
Yes, I agree with you 100%. It is a very frightening thing to think about. And it's not just Darren Wilson. I think, for example, in the case of George Zimmerman, they sent 40 FBI or federal agents down to Florida to see whether or not they could find some kind of reason to charge him with a hate crime. Now, this was after the trial had established all the facts in the case. So the hundreds of interviews that they conducted had one purpose only, and that was to establish some kind of state of mind. So the facts were not going to change. The only thing that they could hang him on was whether or not he'd had an impure thought. And I am quite convinced that if he had ever been known to listen to the political cesspool, or if he had had any kind of, if he'd had the bell curve on his bookshelf, if he'd ever had any activity making comments on the Amran webpage, that's what it would have taken. And so, in effect, what it means is that if you or I or any person who has any kind of clear engagement in any kind of white consciousness activity, if we get into a fight with a black person and we're afraid for our lives and we have to take drastic measures, there's an excellent chance that the facts of the case will be set aside entirely, and what will go on trial is the sorts of things that we have said and are alleged to have thought. That is really a terrifying situation.
Well, you know, Sam, this is, Jared, this is Keith. Sam and I were talking about that before. If some black perpetrator broke into our homes, threatened us, and we shot and killed him, I guarantee you we'd be on the fast track to smelling the perfume in the gas chamber.
Well,
merely because of our consciousness.
I'm not quite that pessimistic. If somebody breaks into your house, if you shoot him, I think you could probably have Nazi band music going on in the background the whole time. I think that in your own house, you're probably safe. But aside
that may
from
be...
that, then, yes?
Yeah, I was just about to say that may be the fast retreating last bastion that you have. Had you been Darren Wilson, and let's use the case that we know, had his computer's internet browser history ever gone to Amarin.com, he'd be facing an indictment. I think that is a very real possibility.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet the family farm on the fact that we would skate just because they'd broken into our home, believe me.
Well, when you're this prominent, maybe not. But in the case of Darren Wilson, I think we can probably agree that had they found anything in his activity that proved that he had a thought process with regards to some of these so-called taboo issues, it would have been a completely different story for him.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
That being said, and what's so incredible about that is that as people will remember from our 10-year anniversary event, people who have ever met with folks who associate with this righteous cause of ours, people who have ever been to an American Renaissance conference, these are the most intelligent, salt of the earth, good, decent, kind, and giving people that you could ever possibly want to associate with. Our people are a good and righteous people.
They're a treasure.
They are a treasure. And I was reading an article, I guess it was last October, that said that the state of Tennessee had benefited from a boon of so-called hate tourism. And in this article, two of the events of 2014 that were mentioned was the American Renaissance Conference, of course, and our 10-year anniversary event. Apparently, Jared, between the two of us and another event or two, we had completely balanced the budget of the state of Tennessee from all of these tourists we'd brought in to these conferences, right?
They should be sending us thank you letters.
Well, you're doing it again. You're doing it again in 2015, April 17th through the 19th. And it's an all-star lineup of speakers. And I'll let you give us the who, what, where, when, and why, Jared.
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that the staff of the Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee, where we hold our event, they absolutely love us. they say to us that we are their favorite group and they hope we'll come back next year. So I think
The
people who are complaining about the tourism that we bring just should just talk to the staff who actually cater to us. But anyway,
amen to that.
Yes. No, I think we have a great lineup of speakers. Peter Brimelow is going to address his first American Renaissance Conference, and we're all very excited about that. I'm sure many of your listeners are regular readers of the VDARE site. And Ramsey Paul, he's really one of my favorite speakers. He's going to be back for his third talk in a row.
How about that?
He is really one of these brilliant people who can talk about serious subjects in a genuinely funny way. I have enormous envy for people like that. When I start talking about the things that matter to me, I get grimly serious. But no, he can talk about it with a light touch and a sense of humor. I think he's really great. And then, of course, another of our speakers is going to be Richard Spencer. Was he to be on your program earlier this evening? Was he speaking already?
He's going to be on in about 10 minutes, Jared. Right. In fact, half of the docket has been on the show tonight between you, Sam, and Richard. How about that?
Oh, dear. Well, see, all three of us are going to be speakers at the conference. So if your guests find anything that we have to say interesting, that's another excellent reason to come. Well, I will let Richard speak for himself once he's on. Another person I'm quite excited about is a fellow named Matt Armstrong. He has been involved in the British nationalist movement for a long time, and he is going to give us an insider's explanation of what went wrong with the BNP. As you'll recall, at one point, the BNP was really doing well. They had hundreds of local council members. They had two members in the European Parliament, and now that party has almost completely fallen apart. So he's going to give us an excellent talk as to what went wrong and the lessons that we can learn from what went wrong. Now, another guy coming across the pond, his name is Konstantins Pupurs, and he is with something called the All for Latvia Party. The All for Latvia Party has been one of these very successful European groups who makes it clear that Latvia must stay Latvian. This guy lived in the United States for several years. He speaks excellent English. And I think it's always encouraging to hear from these successful European movements that should be and could be an inspiration for us. And we're also going to have a session remembering Sam Francis. Now, James, did you ever meet Sam Francis?
You know, when we went on the air in 2004, Bill Rowland knew Sam Francis, and we went on in the fall of 2004, and Bill had told me that Sam Francis had narrowly averted, you know, a very dire predicament, and that we should get him on the show as soon as he comes out of the hospital. And, of course, he took a turn for the worse and never made it. So I never had the chance to speak or meet with Sam Francis.
Ah, gee, what a pity. He really was a great guy, a wonderful guy. And so we will have a session devoted to remembering Sam Francis. And for those of you who didn't have an opportunity to know him before he died, and it's been 10 years now, I think this will be a great occasion. And then another event that's attracting a lot of interest is there's going to be a debate. There'll be a team composed of Richard Spencer and Sam Dixon, and then the other team is going to be a team of foreigners, I suppose you could say, John Derbyshire and Peter Brimelow. And the question of the debate is whether the political system can solve the race problem. I think that is likely to be quite a lively event and one of the highlights of the conference.
And if you want to be a part of this, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to be sure to work this in, Jared, in case we run out of time. Peter Brimelow, Ramsey Paul, Richard Spencer, Konstantinos Papoures, Jared Taylor, Matt Armstrong, Sam Dixon, who you just heard from, remembering Sam Francis, and then that debate between Richard Spencer and Sam Dixon versus Peter Brimelow and John Derbyshire. All of that's going to be taking place April 17th through the 19th at Montgomery Bell State Park, just west of Nashville, Tennessee. That is the American Renaissance Conference 2015 gathering. That and much more. Of course, the fellowship is what it's all about at the end of the day. And you're going to be treated to fellowship, that which you cannot find at any other event. And it's coming up in just a matter of weeks. Just over a month it will be here. And for all of the information, to sign up tonight, you can actually guarantee your room and seat this evening if you go to amren.com. There to the right of the page, you will see a square rectangle link, Amren Conference 2015. You click on that, you go to the page, you sign up. You're there tonight. And Jared, I'll let you know, there's a lot of people in the online chat tonight who are excited about it and who are planning to be there, as are we.
Well, that's just wonderful. I think it'll be a great event, and as you say, probably we could line up the we could have a lineup of the dullest possible speakers, but it is the people who come who really make an American Renaissance Conference the phenomenon that it is. The fellowship is, as you say, really priceless.
Amren.com, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need to sell you on this. This event sells itself. It's the premier gathering of our movement. It's been going on since the early 90s, and you can be there for Amren 2015 if you go to amren.com tonight and sign up. Thank you, Jared, for being with us tonight. Always a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, James.
My pleasure entirely. Richard Spencer up next. Stay tuned, everybody.